This is Kristen Nicole Young, and you're listening to the Headbands and Hard Truth podcast. Hey, welcome back. This is part 9 of the End Time series. We are getting so close to the end. This is one of the final episodes in our video series. So thanks for joining again, and we will go ahead and get started.
Okay, so to jump in today, we need to review just a little bit so that we know where we're going with today's session. So we've been in Matthew chapter 24, also in Revelation chapter 6, and we've also been in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to go back to Matthew 24 briefly before we flip on over to Revelation chapter 12. So Revelation chapter 12 is where we're going to spend most of our time today, but we need to flash back over to Matthew 24 just to see why we're going to be looking there. So let's look in Matthew 24, and mainly I just want to take a few verses there out of that text, verses 15 to 20. Let's go to 22. And so I'll read that. It says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." So I want to take that passage, Jesus is saying, when you see, so back up into verse 15, Jesus is saying, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, and that was in Daniel chapter 9, which is why we went over there to look. So we got a big, huge time piece, right? We talked about the 70 weeks of Daniel in that passage, and then also found out that there would be this abomination of desolation, which would occur in the middle of the week, or in the middle of that last 7 years, or the 70th week of Daniel. So that's what the abomination of desolation is. It occurs in the middle, okay, in the middle of that last 7 years. So we know that's 3.5 years into it that this abomination of desolation will take place. Well, what is the abomination of desolation? Let's just remember that is when the Antichrist, who makes this covenant with the people of Israel at the beginning of that 7 years, which is called the covenant of death, when he makes that, so in the middle of that is when he reveals who he really is, and the mask comes off, so to speak, and reveals that he is not a friend of Israel, but he is in fact the enemy of Israel, and he takes a stand in their temple. And that's why it's called an abomination of desolation, right? So he is going to go and take a seat in the temple, and he's going to desecrate the temple, and it will be an abomination. And so that's a little bit of what that's about. We could spend some time on that, but that's, again, beyond the scope of what we're doing here, because this is a bird's eye view. This is like the big picture view of it. But what we need to know here is that in the middle of the 7 years, so at the 3.5 year mark, we will see the abomination of desolation take place. And then I want you to go down to verse 21. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation." Okay, so when we see the abomination of desolation, so at the 3.5 year mark, that is when the great tribulation will begin. Okay, and we know that it's a great tribulation because it will be unprecedented. It's like Jesus said, that there is nothing that has occurred like that since the beginning of time, and nothing like that will occur ever again, praise the Lord, right? That's the good news, is that it will happen, and it will be terrible, and it will be unprecedented, but Jesus will put an end to it. And it says in verse 22 that he will cut those days short, okay? What we need to know and understand is that last 3.5 years That's pretty much the worst of it. Again, the Great Tribulation, that is the time. It's in the Old Testament, we see it's like the time of Jacob's trouble, is one way that it's mentioned. It's a day of vengeance and of wrath, which, you know, because later the Lord's wrath will be poured out. But during that Great Tribulation, Satan's wrath, Satan is going to come after God's people, okay? And so that's what we need to know and understand, is that is the beginning of the Great Tribulation, okay? But Jesus, praise the Lord, is going to cut those days short, okay? So he's given a certain amount of time, but Jesus is going to cut it short. Otherwise, no life would be saved, okay? If you think about some of the horrible regimes of the past and how they slaughtered millions and millions and millions of people, that's what we're looking at, except unprecedented, right? And I know that that is not the good news we like to hear, but we have to know the reality, right? So let's flip over to Revelation chapter 12, because what we want to do is today in our video, we just want to start looking at what is the Great Tribulation going to look like? What will those days be like? Okay. And so we're going to look in this week, chapter 12. And then our next session, we'll look in chapter 13. So if you want to read ahead, you can read chapter 13 of Revelation. But today we're going to get into chapter 12 just to see some things that I think will give us some understanding about what's going to be going on at that midpoint and going into that last 3.5 years. So Kristen's going to read chapter 12 for us, verses 1 through 17. And when she gets done reading, I'm just going to jump in and just try to bring some understanding to some of the things, you know, as you, hopefully you'll read along, but as you read and as you listen, you may be thinking, what is this, you know, and what is that, and I don't even know what's going on here, okay, but I'm going to try to make some sense of some of it, so that we can understand at least a little bit, kind of the gist of what's going on. So, Kristen, if you would read that.
And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even until death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time, and times, and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea.
Okay. So, like I said, you know, there's a lot of...
It's a nice bedtime story.
Right, right. There's a reason why this one's not in the kids, mm-hmm. I don't know, Bible storybook, whatever. Okay.
I don't understand why we don't paint these on nursery walls, you know. Right. Maybe our
I mean, Noah's bad enough, but yeah, they're all drowning and dying. Okay, so I think as you were reading, I have to ask you about that. So as you were reading, did you catch something?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did. Oh, I have it in my notes, so it's kind of cheating, okay. But it just okay. makes sense.
Yes, okay.
When you
Well, you want to say it?
Yeah.
You want to say it?
So she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So we're talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So this is Jesus. So she gave birth to a male child. Would not be Mary, right? Mm-hmm. It would be Israel because Jesus came out of that. Mm-hmm. And so it would be she, as in the woman, would be... she as the woman would be Israel. Mm-hmm. And so the dragon, obviously it tells us in verse 9 mm-hmm. that the dragon is Satan. Mm-hmm. So whenever it talks about, like the dragon coming after the woman is Satan coming after Israel. So, mm-hmm.
yep, that's great. Yes. And so I want to say with that this is, so Revelation is apocalyptic literature. It is, it's all 100% true. It's prophecy, right? It is what is to come. And what is true about, so the Bible, let's just talk about this for a second, because I think earlier on we've talked a little bit about inductive study. You know, the Bible is to be taken at face value. In other words, we read it and we just believe it for what it says. But it's also a book that has literature, right, in it. It has historical literature, and it has poetic literature, and it has this apocalyptic literature. And the thing is that when you think about literature, there are different literary devices that we use. Like, we use hyperbole. We use metaphor, we use simile, we use allegory, we use symbolism, right? Those are all different parts of literature, literary devices that we would use. And so the Bible is no different. It employs or uses literary devices, okay? But, so we're going to take it at face value. But what we know about Revelation or apocalyptic literature in general is that if symbolism is being used, then the meaning of the symbol will always be given. Okay, so always look for that. You know, it's easy to read through this, and just say, I have no idea what this is saying. I don't know. I'm just gonna close it and walk away because I have no idea. But if we would just sit and just think and pray and just read through it and begin to let the text speak for itself, the symbolism will be given. Like, the meaning of the symbols will be given. Okay, so for example, the dragon, we see over in verse 9 how it's the devil. It's Satan. Okay, so the dragon is the devil. And back to the woman being Israel. So early on in verse 1, it talks about how she had 12 stars around her head, right? So the number 12, what do we think of? Well, there are a lot of 12s in the Bible. One is 12 disciples of Jesus, but we also know 12 tribes of Israel, right? And you can flash back, if you're familiar with the text, with the Word of God in general, in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph has a dream, and he has a dream he's one of the tribes of Israel, right? He's one of the sons of Israel, which turn into the 12 tribes. So he has this dream that 11 stars and the sun and the moon are bowing down to him. Why 11 stars? Well, because he's the 12th. And then 11 stars are bowing down to him, and that the woman, or the son, being his dad, Israel or Jacob, and then the moon being his mother, okay, and then the stars, so his brothers, so his 11 brothers, and they bow down to him. Why did they bow down to him? Well, we know that he ended up in Egypt, right? He got sold into slavery. into Egypt. He ended up being second in command to Pharaoh, right? And so his brothers did end up, indeed, bowing down to him, right? Because he was ruler over them. So that, if we had a question about the woman and the 12 stars, well, we can know that in Genesis chapter 37, it's there. It's there for us to see. So this woman is Israel. Jesus, the Christ, came through the line of Israel, right? He was an Israelite. He came through Israel. That was his lineage. And yes, Mary was his mother, but we're talking about his nation, the heritage, right? The nation that he came from. So, and we also know that he's described in other places in scripture as one, especially in Daniel, as one who would rule the nations with a rod of iron. So there's no question that Jesus is the one that's being talked about, okay? Now, also, what I want to help you understand is that in chapter 12 of Revelation, John is flashing back and he's flashing forward and he's just kind of flat. He's seeing different events, different huge events in history, okay? He's flashed back. He flashed back to Jesus' birth, right? Where when Jesus was born, remember Herod tried to have he did have the male children 2 years and under killed. And Jesus would have been in that, but Joseph, his dad, fled to Egypt because of, you know, God told him to do that, knowing that that danger was coming. So Satan tried to devour him, right? And also, too, when Jesus was crucified, that was Satan trying to devour him, although that was the plan of God. Satan wanted him dead. Satan wanted him to die and not be resurrected, but he was taken up to heaven, right? He was killed, but he was taken up to heaven. So he was resurrected, and the victory was given, right? Okay, so what I want us to get out of chapter 12, so these symbols, or we have these pictures, right? The woman who is Israel, the child who is Christ, the dragon who is Satan. And what I want us to understand is that when you look down in verse 12, okay, we see that, so John sees that the dragon had been thrown down, right? He'd been thrown down, and that he had come down to the earth with what? With great wrath. Right? Because why? Because he knows that his time is short. Okay, so in all of this bad news that we're talking about and all this depressing stuff that we're talking about, here's the good news. His time is limited, right? It is not forever. It doesn't go on and on. It is a set amount of time that will begin and it will end, mm-hmm. right? And Jesus will end it. And one of the things I want you to pay attention to is also when we talk about time and we talk about the time that his time is short, let's flash back to the 3.5 years, okay? So that last 7 years, okay, or the 70th week of Daniel, that last 7 years. Again, what's going to happen at 3.5 years in? The abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist will reveal who he really is. He will basically unleash hell and unleash his fury. And so if you taking a lunar calendar has 360 days in the year. So if you take 3.5 years, you're going to get 1260 days. Okay. So that 1260 days, that second half of the 7 years, is the time that Satan is given to do whatever the heck he wants to do. Okay, he is given a restrainer, which we're not going to talk about that in this study, but there is a restrainer, and I have my thoughts about who or what that is, but there is a restrainer who right now is restraining him from having just whatever he wants to do, having his way, right, in full. And that restrainer at the midpoint is going to be taken out of the way. And that last 1260 days, he will have full access to whatever he wants, however he wants it. The Lord is going to allow that to happen, okay? And so that 1260 days, you'll also see it as 42 months. So I think whenever we get over into, I can't remember if it's in chapter 13, but for sure in the last few chapters of Revelation, we know that we see the term 42 months. So 42 months, 1260 days, or another way you'll see it put is times, or time, which is 1 year, times, which is 2 years, and half a time. Okay, so time, times, and half a time. Half. Half a time. So that is, it's hard to do that. So 3.5 years, okay, is a time, times, and half a time, or 1260 days, or 42 months. And that's the amount of time that the Antichrist, or Satan, is given to rule the world, do whatever he wants, okay? So what does he want to do? Well, we see that in this chapter as well. He has great wrath because his time is short, again, only 1260 days, and Jesus is going to cut that short, right? He's not even going to get the full time because Jesus is going to cut it short, praise the Lord. We're going to need that. But he has great wrath, and so what does he do? He comes after the woman. Now, who's the woman? Israel, right? So he's going to pursue Israel. Remember, Israel is the one he has the covenant with, right? Mm-hmm. Israel is the one he's made this covenant with. And there's a reason why Jesus said in Matthew 24, whenever you see the abomination of desolation happen, because that's when it's all going to break loose, right? He says, when you see that happen, you get the heck out of Dodge, right? Just don't even go. If you're on your housetop, which, I mean, I don't know who hangs out on their housetop, but whatever. So if you're on your housetop, don't even go down to get your stuff out of your house. If you're out in the field, don't turn back to your house to get your stuff. What is that saying? That is saying there's an urgency and you just run. And why? Well, because Jerusalem is going to be the epicenter, right? Mm-hmm. It is going to be, the whole world is going to experience the persecution. The whole world will experience this tyrant, right, who is going to reign and control the world. The whole world will experience that, but it's going to start in Jerusalem because that is where he's going to walk into the temple and say, okay, we're done here, and I'm about to show you who I am, and I'm about to unleash hell on you. So they're told to run. And what are we told here in chapter 12? That the Jewish people, Israel, they're going to be taken to a place of safety. They're going to be taken into the wilderness where they will be nourished for how long? A time, times, and half a time, right? So for 3.5 years. So God is going to protect Israel. Why is that? Well, it's because he wants them to be saved. And he is going to, in his grace and mercy, put them in a place where they will be protected, okay, so that they will be able to have their eyes opened and believe in Jesus as their Messiah, okay? So they'll be taken to safety. So then what's going to happen is that if you look in verse 17, the earth helps the woman, right? And which is God helping her. Not that God is the earth, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, God is using whatever means he needs to bring them to safety. And so she's helped and she's taken to safety. And so then the dragon is enraged even more. He's enraged with the woman because she's got protected, right? And so what does he do? He goes off to make war with the rest of her children. And who are the rest of her children? Okay, well, they're the ones who keep the commandment of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So Christians, right? We came from Israel. Christianity came from Israel. We are grafted in to Israel. And so we are the rest of her children. We are the rest of her offspring. And we are the ones who hold to the testimony of Jesus. You see, Israel right now doesn't. But that's why God wants to take them to safety so that they can be, he can work with them for them to have their eyes opened to see who Jesus really is, right? So hopefully that's making sense. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then... And we're going somewhere with this, and that is to show us or to help us see that the Great Tribulation is going to be a time where the target is Christians. Okay, that's the target. Satan hates God, and he hates God's children, and he will target Christians. And then we're told in black and white right here in Revelation chapter 12 that his wrath is great. and that he knows his time is short, mm-hmm. and that he's enraged, and so he's gonna pursue and come after Christians, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Okay, so then what we can know and understand, if there's any kind of question, you know, so that we've got this last 7 years, and then now we're talking about from the midpoint on, so from the 3.5 year mark on to the end, so that last 1260 days, okay, that last 42 months, that's the time frame. That's the Great Tribulation, right? And so what we can know is that is not the wrath of God, okay? Some people will get this confused and think that, you know, this is the judgment and wrath of God. Well, it's not the judgment and wrath of God. It is the wrath of Satan. And we're told very clearly in what we just read that Satan has great wrath. It's his wrath, and he's going to come after Christianity or Christians, right? And so that's clear from the text. And so the question then becomes is how do we respond? We don't know if we're going to be the ones who go into this time period. Because I think I've mentioned before, we don't really know where we are in history. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, right? It's not necessarily for you to know where you are in history. Your concern is to take the gospel, right? That is to be our concern. Our concern is to advance God's kingdom on earth, right? That's our focus. That should be our passion, that we love the King and we love his kingdom and we want to advance it on earth. And it doesn't mean that we don't study this. It doesn't mean that we don't study what God has clearly given us. Like, he has put this in our hands. He has put this before us for us to understand and to discern and seek him on what it means, right? And we will... I do believe from what Jesus said, we will know the season, you know, and I think Chris and I were talking just right before this video started that, you know, you look at, I mean, this is depressing subject matter, honestly, you know, it's, sometimes I feel like Jeremiah, he was always the bearer of bad news, and he was, they wanted to stone him and throw him in jail and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it is hard stuff, and but the reality is when we look around at what's going on in the world and just some of the things that we were talking about that are going on before we started this video, it's crazy, right? There's some wild stuff going on right now. And I'm going to go off script here for just a minute to say I do believe that the Lord is awakening, first of all, his people, because we have had our heads stuck in the sand, okay, just living as if we are on a playground when we are on a battlefield, and the enemy has definitely taken advantage of our naivete. He has taken advantage of our, shall I say, stupidity, mm-hmm. of our ignorance. He has taken advantage of that, and I don't even have to go into how we know that's true. All we have to do is look and see how powerless the church is. Look and see how we've hidden our light, and we have become our saltiness. We've lost our flavor, right? And our effectiveness. And we need the Lord to come and to give us a course correction. We are so far off of God's path, so far off of God's path. And I'm talking about as a church, not as a culture, although that is true too, but I'm talking about the church. We have abandoned God's ways, and we are living our own way. And God has made that so clear. And I do believe that the Great Awakening is on its way, and is actually in process even now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about the Great Awakening, and you think about even going back to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit that came was a wind, right? It was a wind that blew, and fire, but wind for sure. And if you think about sailing, which I know nothing about, but I do know that if you're going to sail, you have to raise a sail. You have to set it, right? You have to set sail so that you can catch the wind to go somewhere. Because if you're on a sailboat, that's the only way you're going to move forward is the wind in the sails. Mm-hmm. And so my question to all of us is, what are we doing to catch the wind, right? What are we doing to catch the wind of the Spirit that's beginning to blow? because that's where we're headed. We are headed into a great awakening. And I do believe we will experience the manifest presence of God. You know, we know that God is with us. We know that His presence is here and surrounds us. And if we're believers, His presence is in us. His Spirit lives in us. But to see and experience the manifest presence of God, what does that mean? It's undeniable. It is undeniable. And things that are happening, miracles, you know, the move of the Spirit, something that cannot be denied. And I do believe that's on its way. And so that is good news, right? Mm-hmm. And we rejoice in that. And, you know, even though that eventually, whatever generation it is that goes into this final time period, it's going to be heck, you know? But what's on the other side is grand and glorious. And the devil will finally be dealt with. And so we just, you know, have to go through the bad stuff to get to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, I'm going to finish on this, but let's just say, you know, it may be easy to say, well, I don't have to worry about this because, you know, we maybe are not going to be the generation that experiences this. Well, what if your kids are, you know?
I need to know.
Exactly. So we need to know this ourselves and be prepared for this ourselves. And in that, also be preparing the next generations for what is coming. Because if it comes on, you know, I think about my grandkids who are taking naps right now in this house. And I want them to be ready. I want my kids to be ready for that, you know. So it's important that we know the truth, that we know God's word, and that we're ready for whatever God brings our way. But know this, that we are living in this time, in this moment in history, by design. For such a time as this. And my encouragement to you and to myself would be that we would be like the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what to do, that we are aware of what God is doing, and that we are setting our sails to catch the wind of the Spirit, because it is blowing.
That's good. Yeah, that's a really good note to end on. So thanks for joining us again today. I know this is really hard stuff to talk about, but necessary stuff to talk about. I think next week we'll just continue on what the end days are going to look like. You know, we'll talk about Mark of the Beast. We'll talk about not being able to buy and sell, and talk about all sorts of things. And then I think it'd be, you know, I think we could even talk about what's going on around us as well. Sure. So in a little, not opinion time, but, you know, just kind of a correlation, I guess. So anyway, but thanks for joining us, and we will be back with the next episode next week. Thanks.